Over the last days, we have given you some information in relationship to love. I'm very tempted at this point to ask you to name for me, whenever this lump gets out of my throat, to name for me the four categories of love. I'm letting you think while I'm talking to you about those categories of love, so that in a few moments when I put them on the screen, you'll be able to say, not too egotistical, but you'll be able to say, I knew that. So I want to express my appreciation, first of all, to you for listening last Sunday and tonight being able to remember those categories of love. Our studying God's Word is essential. It's absolutely essential. I knew this was here. I don't think there are any bugs in this water. I think I just got one. Not really. It's okay. Before we begin our study, may we pray together, please. Father, we're thankful for the opportunity which is ours tonight to be here to focus our attention upon the eternal Word of God. The Word of God is alive and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. We all have the responsibility of growing in grace and knowledge of our wonderful Lord and Savior. And that's again our reason for being here tonight. We pray that you will help us in these moments of study. We thank you for your magnificent grace. In Jesus' name, amen. Deuteronomy 33:27. The eternal God is your refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. Deuteronomy 33:27. The eternal God is your refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. Deuteronomy 33:27. 2 Corinthians 12:9. My grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. 2 Corinthians 12:9. My grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. 2 Corinthians 12:9. Isaiah 49:29. He gives power to the weak, and to those who have no might, he increases strength. Isaiah 49:29. He gives power to the weak, and to those who have no might, he increases strength. Isaiah 49:29. 1 Corinthians 6:20. For you were bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. 1 Corinthians 6:20. For you were bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. 1 Corinthians 6:20. Would you open your Bibles this evening, please, to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 18. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 18. I've had an interesting time in studying this verse. I realize that when I first began, I put it out very simply. And then the more I analyzed, the more I realized the importance of the verse. I gave and have presented you, will present for you tonight, some different presentations of the translation. I said at the beginning, we're going to talk about the four categories of love. We'll do that in a moment. But first of all, let's take a look at Ephesians 2:18. That's interesting. Because through him, we have access by one Spirit, face to face with the Father. Some weeks ago, in preparation for the exegetical study of each particular verse, I came to the conclusion, because of various pressures that were on me, to try to be as simple as I could with a verse and not go into great detail exegetically. And that's the reason why this is one of the first presentations that I gave on Ephesians 2:18. I would like for you to see what I was doing here. I was trying to present the verse of Scripture lightly, not getting into the exegetical study of every word in the verse. And as I said a moment ago, the more I analyze this, the more I realize that I would be shortchanging you and not doing myself the right to present the verse in this fashion. And that's the reason why you're going to see now that I have worked this verse over, and you can follow along. Perhaps you need to see again that the first presentation was a very simple presentation. It goes like this. You see it on the screen now. Because through Him, we have access by one Spirit face to face with the Father. You're looking at that, that's fine. Now, we're going to see it more in detail. Ephesians 2:18, because through Him, we both, Jew and Gentile, have access by one Spirit, face to face with the Father. You're seeing now that I'm presenting this verse more in detail in relationship to each particular word that is given to us here. On this particular translation, you will see that I included the Greek words because through Him, which I did not present in the previous, but now I translate for you, because through Him we have access by one Spirit. And then we have the Greek word pros, which means face to face with the Father. Now we'll go back and look at this again. If you look at the preceding verses, you will discover that there's an emphasis upon God's magnificent plan for born-again believers, which simply means that God has a magnificent plan for you and for me. We are to become aware of the fact that God loves us, and that gives us an emphasis upon loyal, royal love. Royal love of our Heavenly Father. Because through Him, the Lord Jesus Christ, we, both Jew and Gentile, have, and then I stop and give you a translation of the exegetical presentation of this particular verb. You'll notice that it is the word ekomen, E-C-H-O-M-E-N. It is the present active indicative, first person plural, of the word echo. Echo is the word which means to have and to hold. The Apostle Paul, by the Spirit of God, is saying in relationship to the Jews and the Gentiles, we both, Jew and Gentile, have access by one Spirit, face to face with the Father. I'm always amazed when I look at Greek words because I analyze the various facets of the word. When I look at this word access, I see that it has, first of all, the prefix pros, face to face. Then it has A-G-O, which is the word which means to go or to have access into. So we can conclude then that the word actually means that we have access. Then we have by means of one Spirit, a repeat of the preposition pros, which is found in this word here, access. Down here is separate, which means face to face with the Father. What happens here is that you and I must realize that having been born into God's kingdom, we now have access face to face with the members of the Godhead, understanding that Jesus Christ is the manifestation in the flesh, God in the flesh, with all the characteristics of deity and all the characteristics of humanity. What we have is an emphasis upon the fact that God loves mankind. God loves us with an unconditional love. On next Sunday, we're going to be getting into an emphasis on the study of the difference between loving and loving unconditionally. I said at the beginning that there are four words. I trust that all of you now have these four words in mind. One of those words is the word agape. Another one of those words is philos. Another one of those words is storge. And the other word is eros. Eros is not used in the Greek New Testament, but we do find agape, or the verb agapao. We do find philos, the noun for love, or phileo, love. We find the word storge. We do not find the word eros. On the screen now, if you did not get this in the past, I would encourage you to be sure that you write these words down, agape, A-G-A-P-E. Agape love is unconditional love. It is love by choice, even if you are not pleased when we make application of that word to mankind. A good example of agape is God loves us even with all of our faults. I think it would be good for you to write down somewhere and keep in mind that God loves us even with all of our faults. The second word is the word philos. We now see it on the screen. Philos love is virtuous love, guided by our souls, likes, or our healthy or unhealthy needs and desires. If you could analyze this word with me for a few moments, the emphasis here is philos is the word which means rapport. It is a word that is described by virtuous love, guided by what takes place in the advanced of an individual believer. Storge is the word for family love and the physical show of affection, the need for physical touch. Most of us are aware of the fact that we have love for our family members. That is described by the word storge, S-T-O-R-G-E, the word for family love, physical show of affection, and all of us have need for physical love and touching. Sometimes the love between exceptional friends could be classified, if you carry it that far, to the word storge. The last word, which is the word we do not find in the New Testament, is the Greek word eros. Most of us are familiar with that word. It emphasizes intimacy. It emphasizes the physical. And you'll see other words that describe it there. What I would like for us to do tonight is to take some time to look at royal love. When I think in terms of love and royal love, I have to say, number one, that love is what God is. Most of us have memorized many, many years ago, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in him would not perish but have everlasting life. And that Greek word there is the verb agapao, the verb agape. So we could describe then royal love as love is what God is. Number two, accepting the gift of salvation is actually an emphasis upon what we would classify as maximum love. When you accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, whenever you did that, God worked a magnificent miracle in your life. We call that regeneration. We call that the imputation of God's magnificent grace. Imputation simply means that something has been put inside of us. Regeneration means that God works a miracle and that we're born into His kingdom. That means that our desire for God has become a reality in that He now belongs to us and we belong to Him. That is what I would classify, as you can see, number two, the maximum love, accepting the gift of salvation. Number three, royal love never depends on us. Royal love never depends on us. You and I are aware of the fact that what it is that God does for us is that God works the miracle of regeneration. We accept Him, He accepts us. So He is the one who works the miracle of regeneration in your life and mine. When we come to the subject of love in relationship to mankind, men, women, boys, and girls, there are actually categories of love. I put them down in three forms. One is we have love for God. Number two, individuals who fall in love, get married, there's companionship love. And then number three, all of us have friends, some closer friends than others, but that word friends also is one of the categories of love. So categories of love: God, companion, friends. Number five, we've analyzed, and we are going to repeat now because I want you to be sure that you have this in mind. There are two New Testament words that we want to emphasize here. The first word is the word agape, which you already know and have down, A-G-A-P-E, which is the noun or the verb A-G-A-P-A-O. You will say to me, why is it that you're repeating this? Because I'm aware of the fact that people oftentimes hear, but do not really hear. And sometimes they hear, and it stays with them for a brief period of time, and then if you should ask them about it later, they've already forgotten it. So that's the reason why there's repetition here. Agape, A-G-A-P-E, the noun, verb, agapao, A-G-A-P-A-O. These are two New Testament words that you need to have in your thinking. The next word is the word philos. We've already emphasized that that is a word that is translated rapport. We'll talk about that more in detail as we move along. The Greek verb is phileo, P-H-I-L-E-O. I trust that you're able to see that from where you're sitting. New Testament words, agape, agapao, philos, phileo. When we talk about phileo, we use the terminology rapport. I like that word, rapport. It is what we would classify as total soul rapport. Number six, we need to see the distinction between the two words, agape and philos, and I think we've analyzed that enough, we can move on. Number seven, agape is commanded in Galatians 5:22. 1 John 3:11, and 1 Corinthians, the 13th chapter. Most of you have read and have studied with me this magnificent 13th chapter of Corinthians. We refer to it as the love chapter, but it could be classified as the Holy Spirit chapter. A magnificent chapter. If you haven't read that recently, I would encourage you to read before you go to sleep tonight, 1 Corinthians chapter 13, we'll find the word agape, love commanded. In Galatians 5:22, 1 John 3:11, 1 Corinthians 13. Number 8, philos love, I believe, when it emphasizes rapport, depends upon the believer advancing. Now, as I said the other day, and you know now, that I have had an interesting time over the years in the study of these two words, agape on the one hand and philos on the other hand. And I've had mixed feelings through the years in relationship to those two words. There was a point of time when I had concluded that the word philos was actually a deeper word than agape. And then the more I studied, the more I advanced, the more I was able to see. And I would not diminish one of these words over the other at all now. So I'm telling you that the word philos, with the word being defined as having rapport, is a beautiful manifestation of what God's plan is for us as believers. Now, we're members of royalty. In the light of the fact that we're members of royalty, we must understand that God has a plan, specific plan, for royalty. And I'm putting these points now on the screen. Royal family plans. Number one, the most important thing that I can mention for you tonight is that we must learn the word of God on a consistent basis. That is a plan that God has for members of royalty. Number one, we're to learn the word of God on a consistent basis. Number two, we're to continue until we can be classified as spiritually self-sustaining. Now, the question that I have is, how can you determine, or how can you understand, or how can you even know what is actually defined as spiritually self-sustaining? I can interpret it in this fashion, and that is that God has a plan for every one of us as born-again believers to advance, to grow in grace and knowledge, and to be able to come to a point where no matter how we're faced with various circumstances in life, we can back off and analyze those circumstances, and by and large, as we look upon that particular situation, we can analyze it from a standpoint of whether we are able to comprehend the meaning in relationship to what we know as we've studied God's Word over a period of time. There may be 10% understanding. There may be a 20%. There may be a 30 or 40 or 50%. I do not know, and I'm not telling you tonight that you can and I can always know exactly, but we have a responsibility of advancing in God's Word to the point that we're able to see most things from a divine vertical viewpoint. And we can only do that as we learn God's Word on a consistent basis. We must continue until we find ourselves thrilled and happy and satisfied with circumstances, even though we do not comprehend or understand those circumstances. So that would be classified then as being self-sustaining in the midst of the various events of life. We have to come to a point where we are able to pass people test, thought test, system and disaster testing. Let's analyze these for a few moments. Most of you have had, if you haven't, you will have, tests with people. Now, we're not going to ask for anyone to testify tonight or give any personal testimony about your trouble with anyone as a believer. Most believers, at one time or the other, will have some difficulty with other believers. And so we have to understand that that is going to be a normal situation in life. We're going to see this more in detail as we move along, but what I'm trying to do is to lay a little preliminary foundation for you to see that as we grow in grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ, we're going to be more and more advanced, and we will be able to come to a point where we have the ability to face people test and move along quite rapidly. So there's passing the people test. Another problem that all of us have, and probably you and I have this more than anything else, and that is thought testing. Things that enter your mind that you and I know are not in keeping with God's plan. It may fall into the area of lasciviousness. It may fall into the area of gossiping. It may fall into the area of jealousy. There are many things, and I'm not going to list all of these, because I don't know all of them anyway, but I know that there are many things that come into your mind and mine that would be classified as thought test. Thought test. It's important for us to advance in God's Word to the point where when these thoughts come our way, we'll know what to do with them. Most of us now remember the divine power sphere. Most of us now remember that when you and I are properly related to Jesus Christ, we're inside of that divine power sphere. We're right with God. All of us are aware of the fact that temptation can come into our thinking, no matter who we are, no matter how many years of advanced spiritual advance we have access oftentimes to what we would classify as thought test. Sometimes the thought tests become more than thoughts. They become verbalization. But let's just stick with the thought for a moment. The temptation comes in and hits our mind, and we have to make a decision of what we're going to do with that thought test. Are we going to yield to that thought test and allow our old sinful nature to begin to rule our thinking? If so, what happens is that we will immediately be knocked outside, not outside of God's plan for our salvation, but outside of God's plan for our in fellowship. We'll be out of fellowship, and that way we'll find ourselves now not under the control of the Word of God and the Spirit of God, but under the control of our old sinful nature. So we're looking at this, passing people tests or not passing people tests, passing thought tests or not passing thought tests. Or then let's move into disaster tests. In other words, all of us at times will have various trials and problems and difficulties that we would classify as somewhat of a disaster test. I'm noticing that our oldest daughter is spending some time now recapitulating, reiterating, rethinking what took place a year ago when the flood came and her house became saturated and underwater. She's now looking back at that a year later and talking about it. That would be what I would classify, and you would classify, because some of you face it also, a disaster test. Now the question is, how did we handle it? What happened to us throughout all this? I'm glad that I can say it appears to me that some of you handled it quite well. You passed the system or disaster testing. Number four, through testing, we can become a witness. Notice how I utilize the words here. Through testing, we can become a witness. You would normally say, for the Lord Jesus Christ. But you notice what I put down here. Through testing, we can become a witness against Satan's influence and satanic thinking. It's important for you and me to be able to understand that God's Word saturating our minds, captivating our souls, will give us the ability to be anti-Satan, be against Satan. We have the responsibility of utilizing spiritual fuel on a daily basis as we are facing various tests of life that come from satanic thinking. If you'll notice number five, if we come to a point which we could be classified as spiritual advance, And I'm not sure how to describe all of this, but I'm just calling it maturity. At maturity, we can receive blessings that are designed in the eternal ages past for us for time. Now, look what I'm saying here. If we continue to advance, continue to grow in grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ, there will be a time in our lives when we will be the recipients of the blessings which God has designed in the eternal ages past for us in time when we reach that point of spiritual advance or spiritual maturity. The question that I have for you now is, if we are members of royal family, and we are, and we're understanding more and more about God's love for us, and we're comprehending more about royalty and the fact that we're participating at the royal family table, then the question that I have for you is, how should royalty act? And the question is, how are we going to act as members of royalty? In order to analyze this, let's put down some points. Number one, we're to understand that we've been made saints. You can put your name down and right in front of it, saint. Now, I realize that that's an unusual way to say it, but you've been born, I've been born into God's kingdom. So we need to understand that we are and have been made saints. But now let's look at the facets related to that. Understand that we've been made a saint, which means, number one, subpoint, we're bound together in what is called the body of Christ. As a member of the royal family, as a member of God's family, we're members of the body of Christ. And so if you'll notice what I put down here, we're bound together in what is called the body of Christ. Now stay with me and let's look at this a little deeper, which means that we're bound to advance to maturity. We're bound to advance to maturity. God desires that we continue our spiritual advance. Number three, subpoint. We're bound so that our differences are overshadowed in areas of the non-essentials of life. Now, if you're following me, it's like being on the second floor and you have steps descending to the first floor. We're going to start up here at the top level and we're going to go down one step at a time. We're bound so that differences are overshadowed in areas of the non-essentials. Oftentimes, believers become very confused, and as a result of, I believe, many times lack of advance, they become entangled with the areas of other people along with them in relationship to what I'm calling the non-essentials of life. In the light of that, subpoint four, we're bound so that there is tolerance of application relative to those things which are not the major things of life. Now let's look at this together. Bound so that differences are overshadowed in the areas of the non-essentials. There are some things that you and I must realize are essentials, and there are some things that are non-essentials. So we're bound so that differences are overshadowed in areas of the non-essentials. Number four, we're bound so that there is tolerance of application relative to, and I shouldn't use the word insignificant because there are many things that are significant, but they are not major. And so we're bound so that there is a tolerance of application relative to those things which are not insignificant, but not the major aspects of life. Subpoint five. We're bound so that there is intolerance relative to essential biblical truths. Stay with me. We're going down and down the steps, but we're seeing that we could have started at the bottom going up either way. We're bound so that there is intolerance relative to essential biblical truths. Notice now Roman numeral 2. Since we're members of royalty, royalty demands rigid inflexibility to the essential concepts of God's Word, while flexible as to the application. I'd like for you to think with me what these words are saying. Royalty demands rigid inflexibility to essential concepts of God's Word, while flexible as to the application. Variance can become error, and misrepresentation can become apostasy. You can't just hear these words and let them go by rapidly and understand. Royalty, members of the royal family, demands rigid inflexibility to essential concepts of God's Word, while flexible as to application. I want to say that over several times. Royalty, members of the royal family, royalty demands rigid inflexibility to essential concepts of the Word of God, while flexible as to the application. Variance can become error, and misinterpretation can become apostasy. We're to distinguish between biblical absolutes and various ways these absolutes can be applied. It's important for me to tell you that these points actually need a lot of explanation, but I'm trying to give you a summary. We are to distinguish between biblical absolutes and various ways these absolutes can be applied. Roman numeral 3. When royal family members learn truths together, their applications will not always be the same. Look at that again. When royal family members learn truths together, their application will not always be the same. Number 4. The more mature believers, generally, the more accurate will be the applications. Now, you have to really think these words through. Royal family members, we are all learning. We have the process of learning. I've been teaching for years, and I'm aware of the fact that people hear, and they hear many times from a different vantage point. They hear from a different vantage point than what I'm communicating. I'm communicating from my particular vantage point. And I see what I'm seeing, and I think that everyone is hearing me and hearing exactly what I'm thinking they're thinking, and that's not always the case. When royal family members learn, as a group like we're learning, oftentimes the application will not always be the same. However, as people advance over a period of years, once a person has been in God's Word for 10 years and 20 years and 30 years and 40 years, their ability to make application of the truths will be generally more accurate in their application of these truths. So that leads me to point 5. The more advanced believers must be tolerant of new believers when they see from their vantage point that the applications are inaccurate. Are you with me? Do you follow what I'm saying? The more advanced believers must be tolerant of either a new believer or a believer who has not advanced when they're inaccurate applications. Roman numeral 6. This gives the new or the immature believer the same opportunity of learning as the advanced believer had when he or she was immature. Now, are you all listening to this? I want you to be able to see that we have to be so very careful that we are tolerant, understanding of other individuals when they're not seeing things the way we think they ought to see it from a what we believe we hold as a biblical viewpoint. This gives the new or immature believer the same opportunity of learning as the mature believer had when he or she was immature. Number 7. In God's own timing, not ours, the Holy Spirit directing spiritual food in the soul of the growing believer will guide the believer in making proper applications. Now, you ought to write that down and think about it. In God's own timing, not ours, the Holy Spirit directing spiritual food in the soul of the growing believer will guide the believer in making biblical, proper, spiritual applications. You're listening very well. Number 8. There are different levels, and I hesitate to use this word, but I'm going to. There are different levels of inability of knowledge. Just because a person doesn't know doesn't mean that those people are ignorant. I use the word lightly here. Different levels of lack of knowledge will not change the absolute truth of God's Word. If you come to the Word of God, or I come to the Word of God, and our application is improper, it doesn't change a bit the truth of God's Word. Different levels of advance, different levels of knowledge will not change the absolute truth of God's wonderful Word. When I look at our verse of Scripture, and I want to go back to it, I want you to see. It says, and I'll have to find it again, because through Him, we have present active indicative, we have and keep on having access by one Spirit face to face with the Father. God desires that each one of us be able to see from a divine vertical viewpoint. And that takes time. That takes consistency. And you and I continue to grow and advance spiritually. And as we move along in life, advancing spiritually, more and more we'll be able to see from a divine vertical viewpoint and make proper spiritual, biblical applications. You've listened very well. May we pray together, please. Tonight, Father, we're thankful for the challenge of your wonderful Word, realizing that our lives on this earth are very brief, short at the longest. So while we're here, help us to grow in grace and knowledge of our Savior Jesus Christ so that we can see from a vertical divine viewpoint. We believe that you have in store for us many wonderful blessings. You have blessings in store for us for time, and you have blessings in store for us for eternity. One of these days, every person in this auditorium, every person hearing my voice, we're going to be gone from this life. We'll either leave this life by means of the rapture or we'll be leaving this life by means of physical death. We do not know exactly how long we'll be here. But we know that as long as you have us here, you have a reason for our existence. So help us to be able to gain spiritual momentum, grow in grace and knowledge of our Savior, so that we can see from a vertical, divine viewpoint. Help us to have the right attitude toward others. No matter who we are or what we are, no matter what we do in life as we deal with individuals from day to day, our loved ones, our friends, our neighbors, whatever, help us to have the right attitude toward individuals and to have the type of love that we need to have for every individual. We thank you for your grace, for salvation grace. And right now, as we close this service, we would pray that for those who have never trusted you as Savior, that they would do that. We cannot make the decision for them. It's an individual thing, but we pray that you will help them to see that Jesus Christ is the way of salvation. He said, I'm the way, I'm the truth, I'm the life. We pray that there will be those who will trust you now. And we thank you for your blessings. In Jesus' name, amen.